Welcome to the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. I am your host and teacher, Eddie Hyatt. So blessed and excited to be back with you today as we continue our discussion and our examination and study that I'm calling Maximizing the Power of the Lord's Prayer. No question that there is inherent power to be gained and to be derived from understanding and utilizing the Lord's Prayer. It is really, a better term would be the disciples' prayer, because it wasn't a prayer that he prayed, it was a prayer he gave his disciples when they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And he said, "When you pray, say," and gave them this prayer. Now, make sure that you listen to the former episodes, because this is building. And this is episode 3, so be sure and go back and listen to episode 1 and 2. Now, yesterday, we ended talking about that first line, "Our Father in Heaven." Boy, such powerful and important truths that came forth about that line. And so we're going to move on today, though. "Our Father in Heaven, hallowed be your name." The word hallowed, it comes from the same word as words like holy, holiness, sanctify, sanctification. The Greek word is hagios. And hagios actually means to be marked off and set apart for a special purpose. For example, the vessels in the Old Testament tabernacle and the temple, they were hagios. They were set apart to be used only in the temple worship of Jehovah. They were not to be used for menial purpose. They were not be used for everyday meals. No, they were special. They were marked off. They were set apart only for the worship of Jehovah, for use in the temple worship. They were hagios. And of course, that word is used in so many different ways, but that's its basic meaning. Now, this word, "hallowed be your name," it's not an ascription of praise to God for his name, although that is certainly something that we do, because there are various places in the Psalms where the psalmist talked about praising the name of the Lord. For example, Psalm 145, verse 2 says, "I will praise your name. I will praise your name forever and ever." The name of the Lord. To praise the name of the Lord is to praise him. And this is an expression of how God's name is to be honored. So actually, the verb form here, it's a verb, "hallowed be." It is in the imperative sense. It's almost like a command. It's a prayer that God's name will be honored and revered and hallowed in all the earth. You know, in the Old Testament, the third commandment has to do with honoring the name of the Lord. "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." Now, that's not just talking about swearing. In vain means to use in a light and frivolous manner. The Hebrew says, "You shall not take the name of Yahweh, your Elohim." Yahweh was the most common name for the God of Israel. It was his personal name. It was his covenant name. The word God there is a translation of Elohim. It was a generic name for a deity. Even the pagan, the Canaanites, the Jebusites, they all had their Elohim. But the Elohim of Israel, his name was Yahweh. Excuse me. Now, we know that those pagan gods, their Elohim was not real. But nevertheless, because man is inherently, mankind, people are inherently religious. Why? Because we were created in the image and likeness of God. There is an inherent knowing in humanity. I don't know if you've noticed this, but it is so. It is so easy to get children to pray because there is an inherent knowing that there's something, somebody out there. They have to be brainwashed into atheism, into believing and doubting there isn't a God. It is natural for little children to believe in God and to believe in praying and talking to God because it's inherent in us, because we were created in His image and in His likeness. And so, you shall not take the name of Yahweh your God in a light and frivolous manner. By the way, Yahweh, Jesus identified Himself with Yahweh. For example, in John chapter 8, I think it's verse 59, where He said to the Jews in Jerusalem, He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And that is a translation of the Old Testament Hebrew word Yahweh. That is why when Jesus said that, they took up stones to stone Him, because in their mind He had blasphemed by identifying Himself with the God of the Old Testament. By the way, look for a book that I'm writing. I believe I'm going to call it, the title I have for it is Knowing Jesus, Finding God. I'm so excited about this book, and it's going to lay out very clearly both the deity and the humanity of Jesus, and even show clearly how Jesus claimed both implicitly and explicitly He claimed to be God. But here, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Thy name." It means to be revered and honored. Hallowed be Your name. So it is a prayer that the name of God, and we could include that the name of Jesus, because He is God incarnate. He is God come and made in human flesh, born of the Virgin, and both God and man. And I wanted to just read a passage here in the book of Acts. I believe it's in chapter 4. And this is where Peter and John were arrested for preaching Jesus after His resurrection. And they were arrested by the Jewish authorities. And they wanted to know, there was a crippled man who had been healed through the name of Jesus. Peter took him by the hand and said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And so they asked them, they said, "By what power or by what name have you done this? How did you do this?" They couldn't deny it. This man was well known in Jerusalem because he sat begging by the temple gate. And so they could not deny, and he had been crippled all of his life, was above 40 years old. And so they couldn't deny it, so they wanted to know, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" And Peter boldly replied, he said, "Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name," notice the name, "of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by Him this man stands here before you whole." And then on down in verse 12, he says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among people by which we must be saved, but by the name of Jesus." And so right here we see that a priority, the first priority of prayer, is for us to pray that the name of God, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ will be hallowed, will be honored, will be treated in a respectful and in a reverence manner. My friends, never speak the name of Jesus. Never laugh at people who speak the name of Jesus in a light and frivolous and disrespectful manner. And if the situation is appropriate, even reprimand them and tell them why they should reverence the name. So this is the first priority. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Thy name." May Your name, O God, be hallowed. May the name of Jesus Christ be revered and honored in our lives, in our churches, in our cities, in our nations. May the name of our God, may the name of Jesus be lifted high and revered and spoken in tones of reverence and honor. And may we see miracles as they did in the early church in the name of Jesus that will bring even more honor and glory to you, O Lord our God. So there's the first priority of prayer. It's not about us. The first priority of prayer is to pray that His name will be hallowed, revered, respected, feared, and honored in all the earth. I'm Eddie Hyatt. This is the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. I tell you, this is something, this Lord's Prayer, and we're learning to maximize the power of this prayer that Jesus gave to His people. Check out my website, eddiehyatt.com. There, I have two books that are specifically about prayer. Now, all of my books on revival, they talk about prayer. Man, there's some powerful things there. When you read about the great awakenings that were birthed out of prayer, and you'll read in, like, my book 1726, how the Revolutionary Army in the 1700s, led by George Washington, was a praying army. They began every day with prayer. And so there's a lot about prayer, but I have two books that are specifically about prayer. One is called The Great Prayer Awakening of 1857-58. So powerful. Another one is called Three Keys to Answered Prayer. In fact, I just had a person to email me and tell me he was reading Three Keys to Answered Prayer and how it was having such a powerful impact upon his life. Well, they're there on my website. They're also available from Amazon. And I look forward to seeing you tomorrow as we continue learning to maximize the power of the Lord's Prayer.